All right, open your Bibles up with me to Psalm. That baby's okay. You don't have to worship. She's not bothering me. If you don't need to take her, you don't have to. Psalm 121. It's good to hear that sound, isn't it? Come on, I don't want to be a dead church growing old and nobody, no young folk in the church. And that I want us to be, because that's what we are, as a church alive. And we're growing from the inside and that kind of thing. And so praise God for that. Amen. Yeah, the world's trying to get rid of our babies. Absolutely. You're exactly right. But we won't stand for that. We're going to stand for them. And because if we don't, who will? You know, I mean, a lot of folks don't think much of a child. They think more of their pets than they do their children. Come on, it's the truth. I mean, if you got a pet, I'm sorry, you can get mad at me if you want to. Stephanie's got one, so, and I like the little dog, but, you know, the dogs, they're under the kids. Come on, they're under the grandkids. I got one, yeah, on that. They're under the grandkids for sure. Come on, right? I mean, they're just an animal. That's all they are. Yeah, much lower level than man, absolutely. Man was made and created to have authority over all the animal kingdom. All of them. Amen. We better not get to talking about that. I'll make a bunch of folks mad at me. But let's move on. Psalm 121, verse 1. Okay? Psalm 121, verse 1 says, I will lift up mine eyes into the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, you know, I've read that a lot, a whole lot. And I got to looking at that, and I would just, it just, I mean, you know, I was kind of like, something's not right here. But then I got to checking on it, and what he's saying, the psalmist is saying here, it's actually should be a period there. He says, I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. Should be a period there, and then he asked the question, from whence cometh my help? Right? Come on now, let me show you how you can. I'll help you with that. Look, he says in verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. See, so he's saying, you know, I can look around on the earth, I can look around at the hills, I can look around at everything, but where's my help going to come from? Yeah. Right? See, a lot of folks are looking to the world and looking to other men and looking to government and looking to all those things. But the psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. Right? See, that's where our help comes. He says, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. Amen. Amen. Then he goes on and says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Hallelujah. That's something to shout about right there. I mean, that's a psalm right there. You could just read that to yourself and keep getting happy about it, right? Come on. So he says here, my help comes from the Lord. And then he begins to talk about the kind of help that God gives us. Now, here's what I want you to see is that the faith that's in that statement. Notice that. The psalmist says, my help comes from the Lord. So he's getting himself over into faith. See, we receive the promises of God and the provisions of God through faith. Right? I mean, you could read this all day if you wanted to, and it wouldn't help you in any way whatsoever if you didn't believe it. Right? And see, that's the way some folks read the Bible, like it's just a story to be read. But when you read the Bible, you ought to read the Bible and understand, he just said that to me. And he just reminded me that my help comes from the Lord too. And he just began to give me the provisions, how that God's not going to let my foot slip. Come on, see, if we're after God like we ought to be after God, if we're pursuing Him, then all these things that He just said, they're going to come to pass in your life. God has got you. Yes. Hallelujah. You say, well, I don't know about it. Well, see, that's your problem. You don't know about it. But if you'll believe it, If you'll believe the Word and say, that's a word for me, then it'll come to pass in your life. And see, we have a hard time doing that. Well, that's an Old Testament scripture. Well, you know, my God hadn't changed from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Come on. I'll just receive a promise back there myself. Yeah, but now you could receive it too if you want to. Here's the thing. We have to make up our mind that this whole Word is for us. Now, and I understand that there are parts that were in particular for something that was going on. But when you see a scripture like this, notice, let me just give you a little clue on this. Look what he says. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. And then he says, behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. See that? He made it personal for us. And then he made it about the whole kingdom of God or the children of God, which we're part of. Right? We've been grafted into that. But I want you to just see that. He's making things personal for us. And he says, you know what? You just got to get a hold of this. We got to believe that it's ours. Amen. Amen. Now, jump over here with me to Mark 11:22. A very familiar scripture. You see, we're going to have to believe these things and we're going to have to receive those provisions through faith here. Mark 11:22, very familiar scripture. We understand that God is speaking to us about faith. He's teaching the disciples here. So as He teaches them, He's teaching us. In 22, Jesus answered. Now we understand this is the prelude to this was the fig tree that the Lord Jesus cursed. Remember, they came out of town and they didn't say a word about it. It was the next day as they come back into town that Peter said, well, look our Lord, the tree the fig tree you cursed, it's dead. You know, and so Jesus begins his faith lesson. And then he says, have faith in God. Well, we could just stop right there and preach a long time. Just about having faith in God. Amen. God will never leave you. He will never forsake you, he said. And so Jesus said, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have, notice he shall have. Anybody see that? He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Now, he goes on then to say something that's kind of particularly interesting here because he's talking about praying, talking about believing God in faith. And when he says, you know, and when you pray, believe that you receive and you'll have them. And then he goes in verse 25 with an and when you stand praying. See, that's a conjunction. That's joining 24 and 25 together. Forgive if you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. That's a powerful scripture. And you know, we love Mark 11:22-23. Right? Come on, we love believing in our heart and speaking it out of our mouth and receiving that. We love believing that we receive while we're praying, but we don't like it so much then when he gets down there and says, you know, by the way, while you're praying and believing, make sure you're forgiven. Make sure you're not holding any grudges against anybody. Let that ball and chain that's wrapped around your ankle, let that thing go. Unhook that and get away from all that. That's what he's saying. He goes on to say, you know, if you won't do it, then neither will your Father do it. Man, that's tough. I thought the Lord would be, I didn't think he'd do it. Yeah, because he wants you to be obedient to him, because he wants you to receive everything that you can receive, and you cannot be in faith and have unforgiveness in your heart. That's tough, but it's true. Come on, you can't be believing stuff for you and hating on somebody else. Now you don't have to feel, you know, you don't have to have conversations with them. You don't got to buddy buddy up with them. You don't got, but you got to forgive them. You got to let it go and let it be. Now, how do I know I've let it go, Pastor? You know, you can let it go when you can think about it and not get mad. Where you see that person and not get puffed up. Well, it just got real quiet. That's the truth. You have to get to the point where you can see them and it doesn't make you mad anymore. And then you've truly released that now. You see, because here's the thing. A lot of times unforgiveness is a you problem, not a somebody else problem. Because you're the one having the problem with the unforgiveness. They might not even care. It might not mean a thing in the world to them. They might not be having any kind of issue with it. That might just be the kind of person they are. But here you are carrying this thing around. And you're wanting to believe God, but you can't let go of that. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know what they did. Well, they didn't nail you to a cross. And while Jesus was nailed to a cross, He looked down over the congregation and said, "Forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." Come on now. See, we always have to, when we're looking at situations, we kind of need to compare that situation to Jesus and what He went through for us. You can compare things to Paul and what he went through. He wrote almost 2/3 of the New Testament. We've got to understand, folks, that we cannot. And don't get me wrong. Paul had some problems. Remember when him and John Mark, they had a problem? That's when he and Barnabas separated. He and Mark, what had happened was he had left them during part of the missionary journeys. He just up and left. And he didn't like it. And so the next time they're getting together to go, he says, "No, I don't want him to go with me." And Barnabas, they separate. But then later on, Paul says, you bring Mark on. He's profitable to the ministry. See, what he was telling us, I've forgiven him. That's water under the bridge. You bring him back over. Let him be useful. You see, we have to learn how to just forgive. Now, that, you know, I'm not telling you, you have to bring somebody back into your company or into your sphere of influence. I'm just saying you've got to get to the point where you're okay with them now. You see, because if you're okay with them, then you'll be okay with you. Amen. Unforgiveness is tough for a lot of folks. Amen. It's hard. And can I just say this real quickly? I wasn't in my notes or anything like this. Sometimes the hardest thing is for you to forgive yourself. It's tough sometimes for you to forgive yourself. But you've got to just understand that the blood of Jesus Christ is there. You ask Him to forgive you. He forgives you. So now you just go ahead and forgive yourself. And you can move on. You'll see your faith move. You'll see things happening. Amen. So you and I, Jesus is teaching on faith, and He's wanting to let us know. He's given us this word so that we can understand how faith operates. And so we do the same thing. But you know, here's the thing: the unforgiveness is a hindrance, but there's something else that can be a hindrance if we're not careful. Go with me to Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Is it all right if we teach this way just a little bit tonight? I think sometimes we just need to hear it again because we forget how blessed we really are. We forget some things that we let get a hold of us sometimes. Look here in Galatians now, and I'll read down some, but we'll key on one particular thing. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ have made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Now that's kind of along the lines where we talked the other day, just talking about staying with the Word, staying with God, staying with the move of God and what God's doing. Don't get entangled in the world again. Well, that ought to be pretty simple for us, but sometimes we let it be hard because we let our flesh take hold of us. He goes on, he says, "Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you're fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith." Now listen to this. "For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love." Did you notice what he just said there? He just said this. It's not about outward showings. It's about your faith working by love. See, we just talked about unforgiveness, and now here Paul is talking about faith working by love. by love. If you're not operating in love, you won't be able to operate in faith. Now, that's a tough pill for us to swallow. But, you know, when you start looking at this, basically, I'll just kind of break this down real quick. First of all, Paul says that we've got to keep a genuine relationship with the Lord. Right? Stand fast in the liberty which you've called. And then he starts talking about circumcision, the outward showing. You see, what would happen and what was happening was after people had gotten born again, well, they're set free, their sins are forgiven, they're living for the Lord, they're in the kingdom of God, there would be others that would come and start teaching them, well, now, if you're going to be in the kingdom of God, you've got to be circumcised. Because that's what the law had said, you see. And so some folks, and a lot of folks still do, they try to keep the law and try to be under grace at the same time, and it's impossible. The reason that we have the New Testament, and the reason we have the grace dispensation is because that the law itself didn't work for men. They just couldn't keep it no matter how much they tried. Not that it was bad, it was just hard to keep. There was so much they had to do, and they were failing at that. And so God, in His mercy toward mankind, loved us so much that He allowed Jesus Christ to come down and be the final sacrifice for sins, to where the thing we had to do now was only believe in Him. Believe in His death, burial, and resurrection. We didn't have to go doing all this other stuff. And so these folks were being told, well, you know, you can't be in the kingdom of God. You can't be in the family of God unless you get circumcision. So Paul just makes it real plain. He just says, I, Paul, say this. I'm telling you that circumcision doesn't mean a thing. And he said, uncircumcision doesn't mean a thing. He said, what matters is faith that works by love. See? And so what he was saying is, don't get caught up and hung up on these. A lot of folks out here are still doing a lot of crazy religious stuff, you know, going through motions of one kind or another. But that's not required anymore. What's required is for you and I to have faith. And that faith's going to work by love. And now, here's something as I meditated on this. The Lord just spoke to me. And here's what He said. He said, are we in love with Jesus or in love with the thought of Jesus? Now think about that one for a minute. Are we really in love with Jesus, or are we just in love with the thought of Jesus? And I can't help but believe that a lot of folks are just in love with the thought of Jesus because our actions give us away. Amen. Right? Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Right? Well, you know, I can look around here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I don't know, some folk work or whatever. But I can start thinking about His Word and the commandments in His Word, and one of them being, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as a manner of some is. Well, now that's something He told us to do, right? Oh, you say, well, no, that was Paul wrote. Paul was inspired by the Holy Ghost. That was God telling him what to write. And when he wrote it, it was a message to us to forsake not. Keep His commandments. Do what He said. Come to church. I mean, you know, that ought to be the least thing we could do. He went to the cross for us, died, went to hell and paid the price for our sin, and then rose again so that we could rise with Him. And then He seated us in heavenly places with Him at the right hand of God. And we can't bring ourselves to come to church. Now, you all here, I'm not preaching to you. I'm just talking about, in general, about people, whether or not they're really in love with Jesus or just in love with the thought of Jesus. They don't want to go to hell, but at the same time, they don't want to be faithful to God. Right? And if hell wasn't in the equation, I just wonder, would they ever come to church? You see it all the time, you know, but when you hear them talk, and again, you get social media and all that stuff, man, they can talk a talk. You know, but there's a lot of shysters out there that can talk a talk. Right? You know, I mean, these folks can talk you into buying a warranty for your car. Right? That's what they do. That's why they're called. You say, they won't fool me. They're fooling somebody. They call too much. Yeah. Folks have to be falling for that or they wouldn't keep doing it. Right? You know, I mean, you got these crazy, you know, demonic people out here. You be doing all the readings and all that stuff. Going to tell your fortune to you. And people will flock to that. Let's go see what our fortune is. Right? I'm talking about Christians. They'll go to that, but they won't come to church. Come on now. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching good. They'll go to a concert that's through the week, but they can't come to church through the week because they got to work. Right? I got to get up early in the morning. I can't go to church on Wednesday night. I got to get up early. Well, you ain't going to bed before 11 o'clock anyway, probably. Now, I know there's some exceptions, and some folks do. But I'm just saying, you know. Could go to the fireworks. That's exactly right. Knowing they got to get up early the next morning. Whatever. I'm just saying we need to do a self-check, a self-diagnostic on ourselves to see if our motives are right, if our heart's right. Are we truly in love with Jesus? Or are we just in love with the thought we won't go to hell? That's something to think about, you know, because we ought to be in love with Jesus. Now, I understand the fear of hell is why a lot of folks get saved. But once you get saved, then you ought to work on your relationship to where you're in love with Him, because you need to be in love with Him before you can really love others. Come on. You know, can I just say this? You need to love yourself also. If you want your faith to work, if you want faith that works by love, you just gotta love everybody. Got to include yourself. Now, I didn't say you have to be huggy, kissy, all that. But you've got to love people. You've got to want the best for them. Why? Because Jesus died for them just like He died for us. They're God's children just like we're God's children. Now, they may not be acting it, but God loves them just as much as He loves us. Jesus died for them just as much as He did us. And so we have to see here then, if we're not careful, if we're not operating in love, then we could be hindering our faith, because faith works by love. Now, look over here in Jude with me, Jude chapter 1, which is the only chapter, okay? Jude. Let's look here in verse 17. He says, "But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust." Anybody know any like that? Sure you do. You know all kinds like that. "These be they who separate themselves, sensual, not having the Spirit." Can I tell you something? It ain't everything that carries a Bible that's got the Spirit. It's not everything you watch on TV you ought to be watching. The Spirit's not in a lot of that junk. You have to guard yourself. You have to watch yourself, because there are those that are on TV for no other reason but to make money off of folks. Amen. And that's what's damaged the prosperity message in the church. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of it just come from preachers in church. They didn't know the word, some of them, how to teach it, but then others prostituted it, used it for their own personal gain rather than to help the people learn how to sow and reap. Amen. Prosperity is a true doctrine in the Word of God. God wishes that you prosper above, right? It's a true doctrine. It's been prostituted. God wants you to give your tithes, give your offerings, and He wants to bless you and make you prosperous, so that when you need to do something for Him, you've got money to do it with. Amen. Plus, He got surplus so you can do some things you want to do, because He loves you that much. Come on. So we have to be careful here. There's those folks that don't have the Spirit. Look at verse 20 though. "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Notice that. You want to build yourself up on your most holy faith? Start praying in the Holy Ghost more. Amen. Folks, I'm convinced that the body of Christ, and I know that includes a lot of folks that don't even believe in the baptism, but what would happen if the body of Christ begin to just pray in the Holy Ghost altogether? What would change? I'm going to tell you what a thing. I mean, man, we'd start seeing the move of God like we've never seen the move of God before. Why? Because we'd be praying the perfect prayer to God. Come on. The perfect will of God be prayed out. God wants to do signs and wonders and miracles in the earth. He really does. But He needs some believers that are willing to believe and pray and expect. In other words, He needs some laborers in the field. You know, everybody talks about they want the signs, the wonders, the miracles and all that. But do we really have, it's hard enough to get folks, a lot of folks don't even pray before they come to church. They're not even expecting anything when they get there. They're just going to church because that's what we do. We just go to church. Can I get an amen from anybody? Come on. They're not expecting God to do anything miraculous. So if there's no expectation, well, guess what? There's no faith, right? Faith is the substance of things, right? Hope for. Yeah. Right. We have an expectation. Believe in God through faith. And we're just loving it if somebody else gets it. Come on, see that? That little bit hurts. I'm coming believing God for something and I see somebody over there get it. Well, you ought to praise God because if He did it for them, He'll do it for you. He's not a respecter of persons. That's what gets the church. They get over into jealousy and they get aggravated. So, well, you must be nice to be driving a big vehicle like that. You ought to see that vehicle and say, praise God, that's nice. God going to give me one of them too in Jesus' name. Right? Change the way you talk. Change your attitude. Because if you're going to operate in love, then you're going to have to get to the place to where you can see that kind. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Keep building yourself up. Right? Just keep building. And now let's read one more verse here. Go to the next verse for me. Keep yourselves. Look at this. Keep yourselves in the love of God. What? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Wait a minute. The Bible says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Right? And that's true. God is love. He cannot help but love you. But you can walk away from His love. And God will love you all the way to hell if that's what you decide and that's your choice to do. It's not His will for you. But He'll still love you because He can't help do anything but love because He is love. So here, Jude's warning us, you better keep yourself in the love of God. And what's he talking about keeping yourself? He's talking about keep yourself there, right there under the flow. Keep yourself right there with God, in the Word of God, praying to God, ministering to God, fellowshipping with God, spending time with God. Keep yourself right there because that's where the love of God's at. It's not out in the world anywhere. Come on now. The world has nothing for us, church. If we could just get that across to everybody. Oh, but I want to do this and I want to do that. What heavenly good is it to you? Right? You know, it's such a tragedy, those folks that died in that submersible trying to look at the Titanic. But what they were doing that for is so that they could say, I went down in a submarine and saw the Titanic. And they did. Maybe. I'm not sure if they made it there. What happened? Nobody knows for sure. But here's the thing. Their life ended there. They never got to tell anybody about it. It didn't mean anything except the loss of their life, tragically. Now, see, here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes we let the world get a hold of us so much that we get to thinking that the world's going to gratify us. But I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing will gratify you like Jesus does. It don't matter. A guy said this one time while he was preaching. It's a lot of truth to it. He says, I don't care if your child grows up to be a doctor, a lawyer, or any successful person on this earth. If they don't grow up with Jesus, then you failed as a parent. You know, that's the truth. That's a hard thing, but it's the truth. Because we are supposed to be bringing up our children in the admonition of the Lord. Training them up in the way they should go. When they get old, they won't depart from it. Amen. That don't mean they won't take a side trail here or there, but right there and right there. They're hearing your voice teaching them. And in their heart, they're being convicted. God will do His part because you've done your part. Amen. So see, that's all part of love. That's all part of building ourselves up. That's all part of keeping ourselves in the love of God. Listen, kids do what parents do. A lot of times, you know, the kid's going to go do whatever their parents did. That's the kind of jobs they'll even take. That's the influence parents ought to have over kids. To help and advise them to do what they need to do. But you see, if we're not teaching them the love of Jesus, then we're messing up. Amen. Because if they're not getting into the love of Jesus, they can't get into faith. If they can't get into faith, then they can't receive anything from God. Amen. It's the truth, right? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, right, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. Notice that. Must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Must believe. What's believe He is? That's faith in God. But not only is my faith in God. Do you know there's a lot of people that believes God? They believe in God. A lot of denominations believe in God, but they don't believe that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They believe that He'll give them salvation, but they don't believe He wants to heal them, that it's His will to heal. They don't believe that it's His will for you to prosper. They don't believe that it's His will for you to have abundant life. They believe in things like fate, you know, or Murphy's Law. Whatever can happen, will happen. And all that stupid stuff. You see, if you want to get over into the faith thing now, you're going to have to understand that you've got to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. That means it's not just an occasional, well, Lord, I'd like to have that. No, you got to seek Him diligently. Father, I thank You. This is a want. Oh, God will give you needs, but He won't provide you wants. Delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll grant you the desires of your heart. Not just the needs you have, but the desires that you have. So this is, Lord, something I want. I'm faithful, I'm obedient, I'm a tither, I'm a giver, and Lord, I thank You for it right now in Jesus' name. It's mine. I claim it, I receive it, I believe it. It's mine. That blows religious folks' minds right there. It just tires them up because they cannot grasp that because they are so rigid that God's just, you know, a God up there with a big hammer just to punish you. You know, you make it however you can down there. I'm not helping you out. Right? Isn't that kind of the way it sounds? I just go ahead and die. I'm not going to heal you. Oh, but Lord, You can if it's Your will. Right? That's, the Word says it's His will. Right? Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper, there's prosperity, and be in health. I wish above all things that thou mayest and be in health. Right? Even as your soul prospers. So in other words, if I'm prospering in God with my soul, then I can expect healing and prosperity to be right there too. Because God didn't separate and put them all together. Right? Not to mention, you know, 1 Peter 2:25, by His stripes you were healed. Right? With His stripes we are. What? 24? Okay, I'm sorry. 1 Peter 2:25. I was close. I just missed it by one. Okay. That was off the top of my head, Rick. Okay. All right. Now, let's look at something here now. We're talking about love that works by faith. We're talking about all this, the things that you and I need to do to stay in faith. Let's not forget this. that when we're doing these things, all our benefits coming are coming from God and not the world. It doesn't matter what the world does for you, it's temporary. Let me give you one more scripture. We'll close out of here. This ought to be a good one for you. You ought to like it. Psalm 103. Yeah, everybody would like this psalm. You ought to have this highlighted, marked, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." Well, now, right here, you see that David is starting out praising God. He just, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord." You see, and a lot of folks don't even do that. They won't hardly praise God. David starts out saying, "Bless Him, praise Him, worship Him, magnify Him. Bless the Lord." He says it twice. "All that's within me, bless His holy name." Then he says it in verse 2, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of His benefits." Now we're getting into some more here. I'm blessing Him because I know what His benefits are to me. Right? I'm blessing Him because I know what He's done for me. And here's the thing, folks. If He didn't do anything for us besides just save us, that'd still be a reason to bless the Lord. Oh, my soul, don't matter. But God didn't leave us out of the benefit package. Right? Come on. "Not forget not all of His benefits." Verse 3. "Who forgiveth all thine iniquities." Look at that. There's your salvation right there. "Who forgiveth all your iniquities. Who healeth all thy diseases." Notice He didn't just say some of them. Right? He said all of them. "He healeth all thy diseases." See, that's why we've got to get in love, got to get in faith. I just don't know. You really don't. There's so many things. There's such push from Big Pharma and all those kind of things. You know, you scratch your head sometimes. Right? You know. And so you have to look at it. I kind of wonder sometimes, why is it that, you know, you get diagnosed with the problem from the doctor and you need some tests run, but it's got to be 4 months before they can run a test. How many knows you could be dead in 4 months? You could be dead in 4 days. Right? There's some things going on that just ain't kosher. Come on now. We saw through COVID, we watched through COVID how, you know, when the money started coming, wow. We had no flu anymore. There wasn't any colds anymore. Right? Heck, there wasn't many heart attacks. If there were, they were COVID associated. Right? I'm telling the truth. You know why? Because anything that had COVID attached to it meant a bunch of money coming. They died of COVID. You know. Drowned in a boat and you died of COVID. Something happened to the lungs and they... Right? So you got... you know, we better start believing God. You know, because if our government has anything to do with it, I'm getting up here in the age now, you know, they think us older folks, we're just not worth the trouble. They just think, you know, we costing too much money. Come on. It's true. You kind of look through the Obamacare thing, you'll find there's a clause in there talking about that kind of thing. Nobody talks about it anymore because it's not a very favorable thing, but you know. So you and I, what we gotta do, we gotta believe God. We gotta trust God that He healeth all thy diseases. Thank God for doctors again. There's some great ones out there, but there are also, as I said a few minutes ago, some shysters. Okay? So, but I always remember this, doctors are always practicing medicine. Right? Come on. They're practicing. So He says, "He healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction." I love that. He redeems your life from He will not let the devil kill, steal, and destroy on you. Amen. Thank God for that. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. With loving... Man, if we could just get a small scope of how much God loves us. If we could just see a little bit of how much He loves us. Who satisfies thy mouth with good things. I just talked about that. He satisfies your mouth with good things. What are you craving today? Huh? Come on. See, whatever it is you're craving, God wants to satisfy your mouth with it. He's not like Pastor Ed. He won't say, no, you can't have no cake. He wants to satisfy my mouth with good things. Now, you know, cake's a good thing, right? I'm just having a good time. No, he wants us to have the good stuff, church. A lot of folks make it out like God wants us just to barely scrape by and just barely get along and, you know, just hold out until Jesus comes or we die. But no, He wants to satisfy your mouth with good things. Good things. Amen. He's already, you know, and you say, well, yeah, but He's just talking about the blessing of the Lord. Well, I could just go ahead and say the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrows to it. So I'll get you right back over there if you're trying to get away from the money thing. Because a lot of folks try to make it spiritual because they can't stand the fact that it's natural too. Right? Jesus said in the life, if you forsake all for Him, remember when He's talking there? He says that you're going to have 100-fold in this life and then the life to come, eternal life. So God wants to bless us while we're on the earth. Now, we don't want to get attached to the earth because heaven's going to be so much better. But why in the world would you want to barely get along down here when God wants to satisfy you with good things? Right? See, that's the trouble. A lot of folks don't understand it. They don't know it. I remember the story of the old guy that used to be a butler in this mansion. True story, actually. He was a butler in a mansion. And he had been there generation after generation, and came to the point where the owner died before he did. And he had to leave the mansion because they were going to sell all this estate off and all this kind of thing. And a reporter wanted to get a story because of, you know, the guy being so upstanding and all that. And he wanted to hear it from his standpoint. And when he started trying to find him, he started searching, and he searched way down. He found a little shack and found that guy. That's where he lived at, was in that shack. And he's been serving this rich guy all along. He's living in a shack. And the reporter was there, and he started asking him some questions and stuff. And as he was asking questions, he started looking around, and he looked over on the wall, and he saw something over there. And he said, do you know what this is? He said, no. He said, the master gave it to me long, many years ago. He said, sir, this is the deed to all the property that your master owned. He had the deed all the time. See, they were stealing it from him because he did not know that he owned it. The devil is always stealing from the children of God because they do not know what they own. Do you know we own everything in heaven? Come on. So no wonder God wants to satisfy our mouth with good things. Everything God has is ours. Come on. The earth and the fullness of it's God's, but He gave it to the children of men. But see, we've been brainwashed by the devil so much to think that we have to be poor, broke, in poverty in order to be humble. Right? You know, oh, I'm just not worthy. Well, you're sure tromping on the blood of Jesus. Because the King of Kings and Lord of Lords gave His life to purchase you. So what you're saying is what He purchased ain't no good. Come on now. You've got to understand something. You're invaluable to God. He would have let Jesus die for just you. And all of it would have been just yours. But He didn't. He died for us all. So we all get it. And believe me, there's plenty to go around. Hallelujah. So God wants to go ahead and satisfy our mouth with good things. Why? So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. I like that. Amen. I receive that right now in Jesus' name. Come on. Strengthen bodies. Come on. Strengthen your muscles. Strengthen your heart. Strengthen your lungs. Strengthen your blood vessels. Come on. Hallelujah. I got some folks in here old enough to claim this with me. Come on now. Some of you young folks, you just claim it for yourself right now. Start early. Praise God. You know, we want to be just exactly like Caleb was there. I'm 85 years old and I'm just as strong now as I was then. Give me that mountain where the giants are and I'll go up and whip them and get them out of there. And he went up and whipped them, got them out of there and renamed the place. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. That's the God we serve, church. So what we got to do is we just got to make sure that we understand where our help comes from. It comes from the Lord. It's what the psalmist said. You can look everywhere else you want to, but my help comes from the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. All right, would you stand with me?